From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the first part of the show is Taylor McKinnon. He is a senior campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. And he's here to talk about a couple of decisions made last week. One, I guess, one positive, one maybe not so. Taylor, thanks for joining Nell and me on This Green Earth.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So let's start with this decision by a federal judge last week to overturn the Trump administration's plan to lease more than 60,000 acres of public land for fracking for natural gas and oil in northern Utah's Uinta Basin. So where, can you give us a little more specifics on where this 60,000 acres is? That's like almost 100 square miles.
It is. It's a large chunk of public land and scattered through numerous parcels, you know, many of which are near dinosaur national monument. And so it's, you know, some of Utah's more remote and spectacular and iconic public lands. And the Trump administration and the Bureau of Land Management approved leasing across those 60,000 acres in 2017, and that has been rejected by a federal judge as of last week for the agency's failure to evaluate a spectrum of alternatives to that plan. The Bureau of Land Management had taken sort of an all-or-nothing approach to their environmental review, where they analyzed two alternatives, one being no leasing, which we would have preferred, and the other being leasing all of the parcels that had been nominated by industry for potential sale. And the judge said that under the law, the agency needs to look at a spectrum of alternatives in between those two extremes. That was a good ruling. We'll take it. But he, he didn't rule for us on some of the more pressing substantive problems that attend those leases. One is its commitment of more climate pollution through those leases, future climate pollution in an era when our climate literally can't afford any new fossil fuel development and its resultant pollution. And he passed over our claim about worsening ozone pollution in the Uinta Basin, and that's a part of Utah that that's seeing levels of ozone that exceed federal standards, and we're concerned, and I know others are concerned that more oil and gas pollution will only make that bad problem worse. Mm.
Taylor, before we dig into some of those environmental issues in the Uinta Basin, I want to circle back to that, I guess, the BLM's refusal to consider alternatives. And like you said, they looked at it as an all or nothing, or the BLM looked at this as an all or nothing. We're either leasing all these parcels or we're not leasing any. What are some of the alternatives that would be generally considered and that should have been looked at in this case?
Well, the law that applies here that requires alternatives analysis is the National Environmental Policy Act, and sort of the idea, it's a look before you leap law, and it requires federal agencies when they make federal decisions to compare a range of alternatives that can elucidate for the agency and for the public for whom they work, the costs and benefits, the environmental costs and benefits, the social costs and benefits of different plan alternatives. And what we've seen in oil and gas leasing, not just here, but across the country, and these are lease sales happen quarterly across the West in eastern states, so they're happening all the time. And the Bureau of Land Management, especially under the Trump administration, has taken an approach of analyzing basically two alternatives, the all or the nothing, and they've really turned a blind eye to the law's intent of looking at a spectrum of alternatives to look at their relative costs and benefits. So that's what the judge dinged them on here, and rightfully so.
Can this land actually undergo the leasing, administrative mechanics between now and, say, January 20th?
No.
Okay.
No, I should back up. The leases were sold at auction.
Okay.
Their approval has been remanded, invalidated, rejected. And so these are leases that no longer have a federal, a legally valid federal approval behind them. So before anything happens on these leases, the Bureau of Land Management will need to go back and entirely redo their environmental analysis. And therein is the good complication of the Biden administration's promise to end new leasing and permitting on public lands. The Bureau can't complete a new analysis before January 20th, and the incoming administration has pledged to end new leasing on day one. And so we will be looking to the administration to not reapprove these leases going forward.
We're speaking with Taylor McKinnon. He is a senior campaigner at the Center for Biological Diversity, and we're talking about the leasing of public land, some 60,000 acres of public land here in northern Utah's Uinta Basin for otherwise fracking for oil and natural gas, and how a federal judge last week overturned that plan to lease this land. So you're saying that it's in limbo, but the land has been leased. So I'm an oil company or a gas company. I have a lease for that land, but I can't do anything on it right now.
That's correct.
Okay. And it looks like I'm not going to be able to do anything on it until the Biden administration comes online and says, this is what you need to do as far as, an environmental assessment or some other additional work to evaluate the environmental impacts of your potential fracking activity?
That's correct.
Okay.
You nailed it, Chris.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Taylor's doing a good job at explaining this. All right. So that's all in limbo. And like you say, going forward, the Biden administration will probably be less enthusiastic about leasing public lands for this type of activity.
That's correct. In fact, the Biden campaign promised on day one to end new oil and gas leasing and permitting, drilling permitting, on public lands and oceans. And, the basis for that is public lands protection, but also, and I think more so, climate. And that the world is already, has already tapped more fossil fuels that we can, than can be safely burned while staying below a 1.5 Celsius warming threshold, mm-hmm. that is the goal of the Paris Accord and has been the goal of the United States, notwithstanding the current administration. So we're you know, we're going to be looking to the administration to make that promise policy and to ensure that there is no more oil and gas or coal leasing or permitting until they've undertaken an environmental review, a nationwide environmental review, to ensure that any new fossil fuels that are brought online are compatible with our climate goals as a country.
Mm-hmm. So this this ruling that we've been talking about was generally favorable, but you mentioned that it was problematic when it came to a couple of issues, climate and ozone. And let's start with that ozone. As you said, that's been a long-standing issue in the Uinta Basin, right?
It has, yep.
So tell us a little bit about how this ruling kind of recognized or didn't recognize that and will impact that going forward.
Well, I mean, shorthand, we have pollution exceeding health standards, ozone pollution exceeding health standards in the Uinta Basin. And that ozone pollution owes in large part to emissions from oil and gas development. And, our lawsuit attempted and asked the court, hey, let's not make this bad problem worse by approving even more oil and gas development and pollution. And unfortunately, the court didn't see that our way and passed over that claim. So we're disappointed about that. And we're also disappointed about the fact that we're not seeing the sort of federal relief that we think needs to be occurring to reduce ozone pollution in that region.
Well, this sounds good, like good news. This ban on this public land for fracking activities, but the Center for Biological Diversity also put out a statement last week regarding another decision by the administration to lease 2,100 acres of public lands in northeastern Utah near the Green River for the extraction of tar sands, a totally different story, a totally different process. Can you talk about what is going on there and what the possibility of that being held up to?
Yeah, and so last week, the Bureau of Land Management, they restarted a planning process to approve leasing of tar sands near Vernal on Asphalt Ridge, which is just north of the Green River and just west of the town of Vernal. And so they restarted an environmental review that had been dormant since, I believe, 2013. They out of the blue restarted this environmental review and updated their earlier review a little bit. Were that review to be completed, it would result in a decision authorizing the sale of leases for tar sands development on Asphalt Ridge. Now, tar sands are different than conventional oil development in a mm-hmm. few ways, and tar sands are instead of a well tapping a liquid oil, tar sands are a hydrocarbon bound up in soil called bitumen, and extracting oil from that soil requires strip mining, so just removing the bitumen from the earth, and then also a very energy and chemical intensive process of transforming that solid hydrocarbon into a usable liquid fuel. The result of that is that the energy required to produce a barrel of oil from the tar sands is much greater than for conventional oil. And that means that the resultant greenhouse gas pollution associated with a barrel of tar sands oil is much greater than that associated with a barrel of conventional oil. Our concern with this project is not just the leasing and subsequent destruction of those 2,100 acres, but it's the idea that we should be creating a new industry around this, which this lease could help spawn, that could set in motion a much larger pattern of tar sands mining and greenhouse gas pollution that reaches far beyond just this immediate leasing footprint. The good news here is that the economics of tar sands development are poor, and they've been poor for a long time. And anyone who's been watching this in Utah has heard for well over a decade or many decades industry making claims about developing tar sands, but that never comes to fruition. And the reason that never comes to fruition is just the bottom line of the economics. It's more expensive to do this than to drill for conventional oil.
Right. It was much more attractive, like Nell and I said, we've been talking about tar sands off and on, or more off for the
more
last
off.
Few years.
Yeah.
It was more of a conversation back in, say, 08, 9, 10, 11, when oil was $80 to $100 a barrel, and therefore it was more economically attractive. It made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now oil still floats around $50, $60 a barrel. So you're right. It doesn't make any economic sense. And to supplement what you were talking about, the environmental impacts, not only to the land. I mean, this is strip mining, surface strip mining. Like you say, it takes a lot of water and chemicals to separate the oil, let's say, from the sands. And it leaves behind a scarred earth and a lot of pollution in the form of ponds and things like that that are just permanently damage the land. So the last few minutes in this, what's the probability, again, the Biden administration starts up in January 20th. Does this activity also get put on pause or hold?
Yeah, this plan would fall under the administration, the incoming administration's commitment, the campaign's commitment to end new leasing and permitting on public land. So, we don't foresee this happening for that reason, assuming they turn that promise into policy. And honestly, I think it's a very, very long shot that even if it were approved, it would go anywhere for the economics. You know, that said, if the plan does move forward, it will meet a challenge for us simply because of its climate incompatibility. This is just the opposite direction that we need to be moving in during a climate crisis, and especially in the Colorado River Basin that's really feeling the brunt of that climate crisis with hotter droughts and lower river flows. And, an interesting turn of events on this is that the BLM issued, restarted this plan and then actually pulled it, retracted it. And the reason for that was outlined in a Salt Lake Tribune article yesterday, but apparently there's a conflict of interest between the person who had nominated this land for tar sand leasing, because that person is a contract BLM employee. So the project's actually, at least for now, been put on hold given that potential conflict of interest and the ethical and potential legal problems that may attend it.
Well, this will be one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, well, but the real good news is, like, this is the changes we're going to see starting January 20th in overall environmental policy, mindfulness, environmental care, that we certainly did not see these last 4 years. And so this is why we vote for changes like this. And we're looking forward to changes not only in the White House, Taylor, right, but at the BLM and at the EPA and at the Department of Interior, across the board. So it's got to be, you have to have a little more bounce in your step these days at the Center for Biological Diversity, I'm sure.
Yes, we're turning our attention now to making sure that these, you know, very good promises actually become policy. And in fact, with regard to, you know, the federal fossil fuel leasing today, the center organized, you know, 538 groups from around the country presenting to the transition team an executive order spelling out exactly how they can go about enacting an end to new federal fossil fuel leasing and permitting on day one. And so there's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, you know, in the movement among conservation groups, but also faith groups, you know, religious groups, mm-hmm. business groups, mm-hmm. Indigenous groups, pushing on the administration to turn, you know, that promise to end new leasing and permitting actually into policy. And we have some bounce in our step, and this is long overdue climate action that we really need to get moving on.
Well, we got to wrap up. Taylor McKinnon, he's a senior campaigner at the Center for Biological Diversity. The CBD's website, Taylor?
Biologicaldiversity.org.
All right. Well done. Thank you so much for chatting with us, and I think we'll be staying in touch as we go through the year 2021 and get continuing updates on how the Biden administration is keeping its promises on all these policies. So thank you very much, Taylor.
Thanks so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.